Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. What's up?
Not much. Just waiting for Craig to call in. He did give the thumbs up about being on the show tonight, right?
Maybe he meant the middle finger.
Oh. I'm glad they don't have a middle finger on Facebook because he'd give it to me all the time.
I probably use it just to use it.
So. Yeah. So. We'll see if Craig decides to join us within the next few minutes here. If not, I guess it'll just be me and you. And basically, some major bad news happened for WWE this week, and that is on the home stretch to – well, I guess the home stretch really starts at the Rumble, but it starts taking shape around Survivor Series, and that is the world champion is out till way past WrestleMania. And – sucks for Seth Rollins, sucks for the WWE, and sucks for the writers most of all, because there will be there will probably be no sleep for the next month as far as the writers are concerned. And Vince McMahon will probably age 20 years in the next 6 months.
I think they don't know what they're going to do until they do it, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll probably be a fly-by-night thing, like Raw, they'll decide something on Raw, and then SmackDown will be something else, and then the next Raw, somebody else, and it's going to be absolutely crazy. And Craig's really taking his time tonight. He usually at least calls in within a couple minutes after we start. Very unprofessional, Craig, for demanding that we ask him about some stupid bubblegum wall in Seattle.
Some what?
Some bubblegum wall. Craig posted a photo of some, like, waterfall, and Lance Storm commented, and they had an exchange, and then Lance was sad because instead of taking him to see something beautiful like that, Brian Alvarez took him to see some fucking bubblegum wall.
Okay.
And apparently, people have been building this bubblegum wall for 20 years, and now some poor souls have the unfortunate duty of having to clean 20 years of bubblegum off of this so-called wall, and they're going to start fresh. So if you want, you can go all the way to Seattle, and you can be the first person to put some gum on the wall. Does that sound exciting?
Sounds kind of stupid.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? And you know what? I have a feeling they did this at all the Six Flags or all the, like, theme parks. But you used to go on, like, not the log rides, but it was kind of like a boat ride kind of a thing. And you'd be going in the dark, passing different things. And there'd always be a section of the walls in the cave where everyone would stick their bubble gum. I remember Astroworld had one, Six Flags had one. It seemed like wherever you went, there was always some kind of bubblegum wall at the amusement parks during in one of the rides that was dark. I guess you never saw this?
No, I guess not.
No. Yeah, well, that's what they used to do, and apparently there's some giant famous wall of that in Seattle. Well, at least until they've seen it. But it's also like in when I was in New York, they would do that to, like, telephone poles, big bubble gum, or even to glue, like, little fucking rocks or trinkets or all kinds of weird shit on poles in New York. I know back before you're from Mississippi, you guys probably hung, like, dead coon tails on telephone poles and shit like that instead.
I don't know anything about all that.
Yeah. Okay, we believe you. I mean, just anyone can hear your voice and know that you're from the swamp and, you know, you shoot
I'm from
swamp
I've
rats.
Never been in the swamp in my fucking life. What swamp am I supposed
to
be from?
You went to school on one of those boats with a big fan and took you through the swamp, dodging the alligators and crocodiles. You used to live next to ZZ.
I'm from the suburbs. I don't know about all this stuff.
Well, you don't sound like you're from the suburbs.
I don't know what people from the suburbs sound like. I can't help
like
them.
A normal,
I'm from the
like
south.
A normal person. Like I say, you sound like you live next door to ZZ when you were growing up.
No, I don't. Jesus.
Speaking of ZZ,
you heard that idiot talk?
I
don't talk nothing like him. First off, I come off as at least a little bit more intelligent. That fucker's an idiot.
And he's at least funny, though. But speaking of ZZ, have you been watching Big Breaking Ground, the two episodes?
Yes, I've watched both episodes. I have no clue why they found this idiot. He's useless.
I don't know. He's.
I'm trying to see what people.
He had more charisma than any of the guys
that
were on the show. I mean, if they're going to sign all those other idiots, I mean, I don't see why they don't sign him. Just chance.
I mean, they can't fire him anyway.
They
were this opposed personality and charisma. He is. He sounds like just like a dope. I mean, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
And he sounds like somebody in high school that you'd keep hanging around just because they're kind of stupid and they make you laugh by doing stupid shit, saying stupid things. I mean, I don't understand. He's just completely useless. So.
Yeah, well, most of the people that were on that Tough Enough were useless. But what did you think of Breaking Ground?
I like it. It's a good show.
I like it because you do get some inside stuff that, you know, you normally don't. But at the same time, there's such bullshit in it. Like what the fuck is Kana and Athena doing in Robbie Brookside's, amateur class? Which, you know, they're not, but they made it look like they were there. It's like, Athena could be teaching Robbie Brookside how to work. You know what I mean? That was kind of messed up. And then, I forgot who mentioned this, but Dana talking about how she works out no matter if it's raining or what, and then they show her in the puddle, and it's perfectly dry 6 inches to the right and 6 inches to the left, but yet she's in a fucking puddle to prove how she works out in the rain and shit, and how they're making it look like she's on the bubble, even though she's, like, is well known. She's, like, Triple H's favorite woman there. You know what I mean? So I thought that was kind of fucked up. I thought it was a real dick move to fire Devin on camera.
Well, that's it's a reality show, so that's what you get.
Yeah, but you know that was kind of like, okay, they probably planned that for weeks. Poor girl thinks, you know, everything's cool, and they're like, okay, we're going to do this show. We'll keep her around, and then we're going to fucking fire her live on TV. And I don't know, I just thought that was kind of fucked. I mean, I wouldn't want to be filmed getting fucking fired.
Well,
I should have told
I didn't know
like
who the fuck she was, so it don't make no difference. I didn't know who the fuck she was, so it don't make a difference to me.
Oh, well, she's the backstage commentator for NXT and shit.
I tell you what, they in that first episode, they made me a little bit more interested in Baron Corbin than his whole run in NXT.
He kind of came off like an asshole, honestly.
That's good.
I guess. I didn't really like him as, like, too much of a person. You can tell him and Mojo Rawley don't get along, you know what I mean? Because they're kind of acting like they're getting along, but you could just tell they're like, fuck this dude. That's what I got out of their, like, little exchange.
I thought William Regal in the second episode was pretty awesome. Nobody put their left foot forward or some shit like that, and he's just pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. He really did lose his goddamn mind. That was actually pretty fucking funny. But one of the things that I noticed is,
like, came off as the kind of guy that he wants to be there, but he don't want to do nothing. He wants to hang out.
Easy?
Yeah. You know,
yeah, that's what I get. Cause like when he's working out, you can tell he just kind of wants to lay there and not do anything. And then the previews for next week,
he wants to be seen hanging out at the gym, but he don't want to do shit. He just wants to be there because, I don't know, that's where everybody is.
Yeah.
Like in high school or something.
Yeah, you can just tell he doesn't have the physical drive. You know what I mean?
And other things, like, some
did,
of that stuff, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if he did have the drive, it'd be awesome because he does have the charisma, but unfortunately, he's all charisma and fucking probably lazier than I am.
He was on Tough Enough for two, 3 months. He doesn't know shit, you know. But getting in shape and stuff like that. I mean, on some of the things I can understand, like on all those drills, like where it's just like supposed to wear your ass out and stuff like that. But still, I don't think it's, like, too out of line to expect to be in some kind of a shape instead of round. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
He needs to go out in the rain and run in the pedals with Dana Brooks.
And he just seems like he wants to be there, be the class clown or something like that. He don't seem like he wants to be a wrestler.
And then another one I didn't really like, I didn't like that Noof girl.
Yeah. But she was the one that was having trouble getting booked or something like that. I thought she was
going to be on the show, and then they told her no. And I just don't even think she's that good looking, honestly. They basically hired her just because she's Middle Eastern and can speak Arabic, and the girl that they really wanted was a girl who worked for, I forget what her name is, but she worked for Ring of Honor, and then she got busted at the border with, I don't know if it was with, what's his name, but basically she can't come to the United States for like 4 or 5 years or something. Cecilia Sparks or something like that. Like that. No. That's who they wanted. But when she got screwed and couldn't come to the country, this was their second choice. And, I didn't think too much of her.
Yeah, it is a good show. I enjoy watching it. I get a few good shows on there. I've been enjoying. I watch those Table for Three shows. Have you watched those?
I've seen a few of them. I haven't seen too many.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I enjoyed the one with Sting and Vader, and DDP was pretty good. I watched the other day. I watched the one with Bo Dallas and Samoa Joe and who's the other guy? Neville. No.
Oh, no, yeah.
Apparently, Mojo was on the independent circuit for 10 years or something. He was in TNA.
Yeah. Well, still no Craig, so I'm guessing he's not joining us. He's probably went to go see the bubblegum wall and got stuck to it. So it's probably a good thing.
What do you think they should do for this Survivor Series coming up?
Well, I think with so many people out, you need to have a big surprise that can make a actually big impact. And everyone on the current WWE roster is pretty much tainted. if you know what I mean, in one way or another. So what I would do is, okay, you'd have to have Roman booked on one side of the bracket. On the other side of the bracket, I'd have Finn Balor be put into it, but I wouldn't make any announcement of him being in it and just have him come out. In fact, I would have him come out first. It'd be the first match and just have him do his big entrance and then kind of make, you know, people would be like freaked out about the entrance because it's pretty cool, especially if you've seen it for the first time. And I would push him all the way to the finals to where he would meet Roman in the finals and have Roman go heel and fuck him over and then have Roman be the heel champion. And then he could talk shit about Brock Lesnar. And then Brock Lesnar can enter the Royal Rumble, kill everybody, and then face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and hopefully beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Actually,
that's what I would do.
I was thinking pretty much the same thing. I was kind of thinking the thing that they did at that one tournament with The Rock, you know,
yeah,
where he went through the whole thing. Except I would do it with Dean Ambrose. And have him in
have
the
Dean Ambrose be The Rock or have Dean Ambrose be Mick Foley?
Have Dean Ambrose be Mick Foley and get screwed in
yeah.
the final by his friend. So
yeah, that would also work out. And then they could bring back fucking Goldberg, too. That'd be awesome. They could have Goldberg versus the Ryback.
Oh, God.
That'd be awesome.
And, yeah, and do the thing at the Rumble with just have Brock start at number one and go through the whole thing. I don't know, but I'm still worried. The thing with Shane still worries me. He's going to end up with Kyle, I fear.
What they're probably going to do is they'll probably just have your normal tournament, no surprises, have Roman win, have Sheamus cash it in and win. And then they'd probably have Roman win it back on Raw, but still, you know, he's still...
I actually think it would be greater, better for Roman in the for the future to go heel for a while and then come back as a come a baby face. You know?
Yeah.
It worked for The Rock. You know, people were kind of getting behind. Like, people are starting to get behind Roman a little bit more now. It's not as bad as it was. But I would say just go full on heel with him for like 6 months or even a year. You know, then that you could build him up enough to where his turn would mean something. So
yeah, that's why I say like have him turn heel on Balor, because you know everyone would be into Balor if he was like the big surprise. And so that's why I would say have him go heel. He's not a good babyface, I don't think. Honestly,
he got some good babyface moves, but I don't know. It's still not clicking.
Yeah, he may have like an occasional good promo, but it's just occasionally, and the majority of them suck. And and then like he's failed so many times. You know what I mean? He really does need to kind of like overcome if they are going to keep him babyface. But like I say, I think it would be better for him to like finally overcome, but doing it in a shitty way to where he's needed help from Hunter or something, and win heel. And then, like I say, because that's how you, the biggest baby faces in the last few decades basically became that because they were such badass heels. You know, Stone Cold, the Road Warriors, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, basically, kind of. So, yeah, that is the best way, but who knows what they're going to do. Hopefully they won't decide to put Alberto Del Rio into the main event. He's been such a big disappointment, in my opinion. I don't think he's really looked all that hot. And the people were behind him at first, but now he's pretty much killed his heat. I didn't think anyone gave a shit during the fucking R-Truth match. So they've pretty much killed all his heat.
He's wrestling R-Truth, so...
To me, he's been rendered useless already. He's only been there back 2 weeks. Speaking of...
I don't know. I mean, they haven't done much with him. I mean, you know, haven't had him get too many people. So I don't know.
Yeah, but how do you not do something with somebody who came back? You know what I mean? Somebody who came back and got fired for the reasons he did, they could have played into that storyline. They haven't. They've just, to me, they've blown it. And then to me... The dude himself, comes off as such a piece of shit because of everything he's done since he's been out of WWE. Like, you know, when Daniel Bryan got fired, Eddie Guerrero got fired, they had really good track records and really did all the right things on the indies and acted the right way, and then they got hired. Alberto Del Rio, if I'm not mistaken, didn't a while back, wasn't he supposed to do some charity event that they paid him for up front and paid for his travels, and then he just no-showed and kind of screwed the charity event out of the thing? And then a few weeks before he got signed, he was supposed to go to the overseas, and he got mad that he was flying coach in that first class and then refused to go to that and kind of fucked them over. He's the AAA champion, and basically, let's be honest, he's not going to go lose his title. They're not going to do Taz and Mike Awesome, Tommy Dreamer match or whatever. So he's just in life. And then, like, he lied to every single person he knows, saying that his guarantee is 1.5, and made Dave Meltzer look kind of stupid when Dave reported it, and it turned out it wasn't true, even though Dave talked to, like, all his friends that told him that that's what he said. I mean, he's really come off as, like, super, super shady. And then, let's be honest, I mean, there are alleged rumors of his erratic behavior being associated with cocaine use. I'm not afraid to say it, like I'm sure a lot of other shows or radio hosts wouldn't. But, yeah, you know, he's got that going against him, because I've heard that many times over this past year. And that's why he's acting all weird. And he just really comes off as the shadiest carny in pro wrestling right now. It's hard to really like the dude on a personal level right now.
I don't know. I don't know how many people know that, to where it affects him being on, how he's, like, seen on TV. So I don't know how many people actually know all that stuff. If it's even true, which I don't know that much of it is. I just heard the thing about the, you know, he didn't go on, like, an overseas tour or something for some reason. The Observer, it was explained or something like that. I don't remember.
He wanted to go first class, and they had bought him, you know, regular seats, because that's all they could afford. It's expensive to fly overseas, you know what I mean? So,
oh, well.
Yeah, he just, to me, he just kind of comes, he's kind of come off kind of shady about the whole thing. And they really missed the boat. I mean, the way he got fired, they could really be playing off that storyline, you know, and make
him. I don't think they want to be doing that racist stuff on the TV, though.
Well, they're still kind of doing it in a way, putting him with Zeb. But they could have brought him back as a big-time babyface, but they decided, we'll bring him heel, and that way we'll turn him and make him a big babyface. It's like, he's already a babyface because of what happened, and you just turn him heel when people already want to cheer him because you have it in your head. They should have called an audible that night and, you know, had him.
I don't know if people do want to cheer him. I mean, does really a lot of people know that? That's why he got fired? I mean,
a portion of his character. All you got to do is get enough of the smart marks to start popping for something, and other people kind of join in. So he was over that first show. But like I said, the last show that he was on, he was not over at all.
Well, they put him against shitty people.
Yeah, well, that's true. But it's, like I say, it's causing him to be no one giving a fuck.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I don't think they should be going on TV saying that the company's racist. I think I already got this. Somebody in the company made a racist comment. I mean, I wouldn't.
Well, you know, it's going to happen down the line where they're not going to, like, actually say it, but someone's going to insult them in the back and he's going to slap them in catering. You know that skit's coming.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I thought they said they should have brought Ricardo back, but I disagree with that. I'd rather have Zeb. Ricardo doesn't do much with the beginning of the match.
Well,
I'd rather hear Zeb food promos.
See, that's the thing. You can have Zeb having him do good promos, but then Alberto's entrance is just boring as fuck and doesn't mean anything. Or you can have not the awesome interviews, but then you could have the awesome entrance. They should have both of them. That way Roberto can do the entrance. whatever his fucking name is. He could do the entrance, and then the Zeps can do the promo. And then they bring back the Cars, too.
I never cared much for Ricardo in the first place. He didn't do anything for me, except for when he came out at the Royal Rumble in that beat-up car. And I thought it was Alberto.
Pinto? That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty awesome. But, yeah, so I hope they don't put Alberto. I guess one of the things I'd like to see it would be, like, an Owens Ambrose feud, because I think they'd work good together and they'd have an awesome feud.
I think where they were going before this injury, so they may change things now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Since they have to change the card up.
Hopefully they'll start to push Cesaro a little more and not just have him stop and go like they've been.
I laugh on the, I get on the board sometimes and then people are complaining that. Oh, Kevin Owens got pinned like he's this unpinnable person, or like he should never get pinned by anybody. Like, they're setting up a match, you know? Like, when he first got pinned by Roman, they were setting up the match for the Survivor Series and whatever. And I don't know, people. I just like when people complain about the net favorites getting beat. Like, it's this horrible thing. Saying it ain't a big deal.
He's a heel, too, so he's supposed to get beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People just...
And
people just
fight
like...
If somebody's going to go pay-per-view main event, they should be, you know?
Yeah.
They're going
to take
the world champion.
People just need to be outraged about something when their personal favorites don't get the nod. Speaking of outrage, okay, and I'm not saying credentially he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but seriously, what are your thoughts on fucking Carlos Colon going in?
I don't care either way. I don't even care about. I really don't care about the Observer Hall of Fame. To be honest. It's not any fun. So.
Is that any fun?
No.
What do you mean by that?
It's just not any. It's just a bunch of articles. It's not any fun to talk about.
Oh.
You know. I don't care for.
Yeah, well,
I don't have a problem with him going in. I mean,
I do. Fuck that dude. Fuck that dude. Fuck that dude's country. And fuck his political system and court system and fucking everything about that fucking country. Fuck that.
Yeah.
And then, like, there are some people, though, who are like, well, how can you get mad about Carlos going in when Chris Benoit is in the Hall of Fame? Well, there's kind of a difference. Like, Benoit, the last thing he did was that heinous act. He was already in the Hall of Fame. Whereas Carlos Colon helped cover up a murder fucking way years ago before he was eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's kind of different. Like, had this already, you know, had this been like the last thing Carlos did in his career, that'd be one thing, but this happened fucking, what, 20 years ago or something? And then keeps booking the dude who killed him, and just, I don't know, that whole, everything about that fucking situation is so shady for fucking years after all that. I mean, just the fact that that one motherfucker still works every once in a while is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I understand why Carlos is in there as far as credential-wise, but it's just one of those things where it's like, it's more just a fuck you kind of a thing. Fuck that dude.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but, I mean, I don't know.
Well, too late now. I knew when Dave changed the rules that, you know, like, okay, for fucking the past 10 years, you'd always hear Dave talk about, well, it's going to get to the point where it's going to be hard to get in and we're not going to make it. And you know, from now on, you know, maybe there'll just be a couple people get in. And then he kind of changed the rules to where if you've been on the ballot so many years, you get taken off. And to me, and that pretty much started last year, the first year he did that. So this year you had, what, the most people who have gone in, and I don't know how fucking long. And it's because people who were very close to getting on for so many years are no longer there, so the people were able to change their votes. And now, okay, let's say Ivan Koloff was getting a good chunk, but not enough to be in there. Now he's in there, so now that chunk that was voting for him before has somebody else to go vote for. And to me, I'm thinking that every year there's going to be six or seven people. And to me, that's just a little too many to be going in every year constantly. And to me, that's going to end up kind of bastardizing. That might be a strong word, but in the long run, I think that's going to hurt the Hall of Fame, in my eyes, as far as you people who, in my opinion, get in that shouldn't be in.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I like read the articles in the Observer Hall of Fame. I don't really pay much attention to all the voting and what goes into it. I don't argue with people because it's kind of useless, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's not very much fun. If I got to hear about fucking Big Daddy again, I'm going to vomit, you know?
Yeah, well, you just broke the heart of one of our listeners in the Euro countries. Is I swear to God, they always go crazy every year when Big Daddy doesn't get entered into the...
Only thing I remember about Big Daddy, didn't he splash somebody and kill him or something?
I think he killed somebody, but I don't know if it was from a splash, but I think he did kill somebody. All I know is I saw the Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks, who is Loch Ness in WCW, one of the guys who tried to DP Hulk Hogan, that one Nitro show. But all I can say is I want those fucking 5 minutes back, and I want to be reimbursed another hour of my life for having watched that. It was the most god-awful match I've ever seen, just two fat dudes walking into each other at a slow pace. It was fucking god-awful, and he should forever be disqualified from the Hall of Fame talk just because of how bad he was. I mean, make the Ultimate Warrior look like freaking Dean Malenko, you know? But, yeah, the Euros are all up in arms about Big Daddy, once again, not being voted in to the Observer Hall of Fame. Since I'm bitching about the Hall of Fame, another one that I think is kind of bullshit that went in, and I think when all is said and done, he will be definitely a Hall of Famer, but Nakamura going in this year is basically you have a bunch of fucking marks who are, you know, New Japan's a big in thing, and he's one of their favorite guys, so he got in because of that. Because you got a bunch of fucking wannabe fucking reporters who write little fucking, they get a vote because they write the fucking TV report for some obsolete fucking show, and they fucking vote for fucking Nakamura because he's the fucking in dude in New Japan, and it's so cool for New Japan now, and that's why he got the vote. That's fucking bullshit. I mean, he's having a great career. If he keeps having the years that he's had the last few, he'll definitely be in the Hall of Famer. But for him to go in right now is fucking bullshit. Shawn Michaels didn't go in that fucking early. That's why I'm not going. Because a bunch of fucking people, okay, Big Daddy doesn't go in because only the Euros vote for him. Because the people from Japan, okay, I don't know enough about him, I'm not going to vote. People from Mexico, oh, I'm not going to vote. People from the U.S., I don't know enough about his vote. But you got all these fucking marks in the U.S., that think they know fucking Japan, and they're voting for a fucking country that they shouldn't fucking be voting for, in my opinion, and that's why Nakamura got in. And I think that's total fucking bullshit. And I know you don't even know who Nakamura is, but...
I was trying to look to see exactly who got in. The assassin who got in.
The Assassins, I could kind of go either way with the Assassins. I mean, I didn't see enough of them myself, but I've read about them for years. I know that they were draws. I'm very happy for Ivan Koloff. I thought Ivan Koloff should have gone in a very long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, motherfucker beat Bruno Sammartino at one point, you know what I mean? And even when he was an old man, he'd still be the best worker in a lot of those matches.
I was like watching... like I'd been watching on YouTube, I'd been watching a lot of that early Smoky Mountain, and he was on there, and he was still very good.
You know, everyone remembers Nikita because Nikita was big and muscular and impressive, but fucking Ivan did all the goddamn work.
I know.
And he was an old man.
I know, he was still he was still very good at that point. I mean, he always a hell of a promo, I thought. I thought he was tremendous.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, cutting promos.
What did you think the first time you ever heard him talk without the Russian voice? Because the first time I heard him do that, it blew my mind away.
It's like the same thing I heard when, like, I watched the Nikita Koloff shoot interview. You know? And I'm going, Shatowata, Shatowata, whatever the fuck. You know? He's just talking, you know, normal. And it's just kind of, he's what, Canadian or something? Or Ivan, I mean.
He might be. I'm not too sure. I can't remember.
And I mean, he was the scary type of Russians. He wasn't like one of those bullshit goofball Russians like Nikolai Volkov. You know, with stuff. You know, but the Russians, I mean, that stuff did like during 85. And I know he did more like before that, but I mean, he was still great, you know, stuff with Kernodle, you know, when they were the team back in the mid-80s, like in 84 or something like that.
And then Ole.
Yeah, that's true. And was he part of that big turn on Dusty Rhodes in 1980?
Yeah, he was part of it because Ole had broken up with Ivan.
Somebody was referee. I can't remember.
Yeah. But he was part of it. I remember that. I also remember fucking him hitting in that fucking Battle Royal cage match. He had the glove, and he was attacking Dusty with a glove, and the fucking, the little thing that goes in the holes of the belt, he kind of accidentally got that shoved in Dusty's fucking arm. That was pretty gross.
Yeah. I mean, the Assassins, I never saw much of them. I think the only really thing I saw of them was, like, I think it was, like, right around the time when I started watching. Maybe a little bit before that, and I think the last big thing
was... It was your favorite, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah, they cut the beard, and this was back when Jody Hamilton was the assassin. But wasn't Hercules the other one? He's the one that got a mask.
It was supposed to be, you know, it was going to be the mask was on the line. But of course, instead of putting the main assassin, they put the second assassin in there, and it was Hercules Hernandez. The original assassin, the main one, Joey Hamilton. He was a badass promo. He used to cut off some promos back on Georgia and other times. Yeah, he was really, really good at the promo.
On Server Live, and I think he went through two commercial breaks. And I couldn't get him shut up. He was on Server Live. It's like listening to the Ole Anderson cut a promo on Dave on Server Live or something, you know. Just the way he talked. They kind of just had the same way of speaking. And I remember it was that assassin because that was like the first videotape I ever watched was that Ringmasters or Pete Prowess and Illustrated, Lords of the Ring, with Soli and Actor that had all the different, you know, it had like World Class and NWA and stuff like that, and it was like Mid-Atlantic or something. That's like one of the first vivid memories I have of pro wrestling was, that's definitely the first guy I think get unmasked was Hercules.
I remember that. And, but yeah, Evan was badass. Brock got in. Who the fuck? Some promoter from Montreal got in. Trying to think who else. Not too sure.
Aguayo Jr. got in?
Oh, yeah. Aguayo Jr., he deserves to go in. I mean, he had a long, long career as a main eventer in Mexico and was part of a couple different highs in Mexico and stuff. And then, you know,
he passed away.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't hurt him getting in, you know what I mean? But I think he would have gotten in anyway because he's one of the main Mexicans for the past 20 fucking years. I mean, the dude started when he was like 16 and was fucking good when he was on WWE TV when he was like 16. I don't know if you remember
that. Oh, really?
Came out on Raw. I think it was Raw. It was before the Royal Rumble, or around the Royal Rumble time.
Oh, when they were doing the San Antonio Rumble, and they bring the Mexicans in?
Maybe it was Superstars. But he came out on WWE TV. I remember. And stuff. But it was, it was around that time when they brought in the story.
I'm trying to think. Was Senior still wrestling then?
Yeah, wasn't his dad in the main, on the Luchador match that was on the Rumble show, the actual pay-per-view?
I believe so.
Yeah. They really did look like father and son, because, they have the same hairstyle almost, the same furry boots. The only difference was one had like a billion scars on his forehead, and the other one hadn't gotten to that point. But by the time he died, it was pretty scary. His dad is one of the most legendary. His dad's up there with Abdullah the Butcher and Carlos Colon, and maybe Dusty, as far as like most scar tissue. I mean, his dad is just—he's like he's the Mexican Abdullah the Butcher, basically.
Yeah, and I remember he was—I think Senior was—he wrestled on that first ECW pay per view.
First ECW pay-per-view? I'm not sure.
I think he did in that Michinoku Pro. Wasn't he in some kind of Michinoku Pro tag team match or something like that?
I thought they were all Japanese that were in that match.
I could have sworn. Let me see. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look up ECW Barely Legal.
All I know is that his dad was around for, like, ever. And it's funny because, a lot of the luchadors, they're old and not in the best shape, but because they're in six-mans, they can kind of get away with it. But you think that if you saw them in a regular match, that it would absolutely suck. And I remember watching, it was Perro Aguayo and fucking this other guy. I can't think of his name, but he was an older guy, too. Older body, they're all scarred up, and you figure this is going to be a long, boring, slow match. And anytime they put these old guys one-on-one on the Lucha shows, they would have these incredible fucking matches, man. This match was like, I thought it was going to suck, and it just blew me away how goddamn good it was and stuff. So all those old guys, they could work in Mexico.
I think I got a Senior confused with Gran Hamada.
Yeah, that's probably who you're thinking. That's another old dude.
Yeah, because he was in that six-man. Yeah, that's where I got confused. Gran Hamada. Yes,
Gran Hamada is the dad of the Hamada that was in TNA.
I don't care much. Go refresh my page. I don't care that much. that was freaky. We never actually talked about when Junior died. I don't think we were wrong for a couple of weeks. That was weird.
Yeah, that was it looked so weird too, because it was like almost nothing.
Yeah, it was
like
one of those.
And then
one of those weird. I think it was like something like, because I was reading an old Observer, somebody died in there. In the ring, was somebody named Oro that died in the ring?
Yeah. Somebody else
from like a chop.
Yeah,
it wasn't a chop that killed him, but it was a chop that, right after he got chopped, he like died or had aneurysm or something like that in the ring, and it was weird.
Yeah, and then he's just there unconscious, and Conan's shaking him violently, trying to get him to wake up. You know what I mean? And everything about that video was just so fucking, like, uncomfortable. And
And then you go on a fucking YouTube, and this is one thing I love about YouTube, and all videos say Rey Mysterio murders Perro Aguayo Jr.
That was kind
of fucked up. Of course, go to comment section any YouTube video, and you'll see the worst of the worst. Jesus Christ, I feel stupid for reading that shit.
Do you get that on your fucking YouTube page?
Well, no, nobody with comments. They just watch stuff. Because I'm not the one actually posting the videos. I just, like, post links to videos. I'm not uploading the shit. And so nobody comments on my stuff. And I'd rather have the subscriber numbers than the comments, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
you know, I uploaded, I was on YouTube the other day because I saw something that I had never heard before that made me laugh my ass off. And I uploaded a couple of clips. If you want to take the time, I'm going to play them here. Okay?
What is it?
It's some wrestler prank calls that I found.
Oh, okay. How long are they so I can hit?
Do
I got time to hit my phone while they're playing?
Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who is this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE Champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE SuperSlam? Right now you can order this awesome pay-per-view for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again, but thank you, but no. Have a good day. Hello?
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes those six men in a steel cage chutes and ladders match at WWE SuperSlam. Order now and save $10 with a low price of just $49.99.
Sir, you guys just called me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye. Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Who?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night!
Listen, hey, sir, please quit calling my house.
The Undertaker.
Quit calling me.
CM Punk and even Triple H and the Big Show in a spit-swapping makeout match.
Holy cow. Listen, hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens and whatever that is? Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my fucking house. Hello?
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena! But will he be able to take the belt from the mightiest champion in WWE history at this weekend's WWE SuperSlam?
For the love of all that is stop calling my house
John
before
Cena.
I get your number. I will track you down and absolutely tear you pieces. Do you understand me? I know who you are. John Cena, crazy motherfucker. Calling my house now. No wrestling, no super motherfucking slam is happening in this house. I swear to Jesus, if this is those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi, I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Oh, my God, I apologize. We've been getting called all morning. I apologize, and yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am.
Great. Are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John Cena.
Are you kidding me right now?
Available right now at a low price of only $39.99.
I can't believe you're still calling me. I'm about to lose my shit. I swear I'm about to call the police.
Hello. You have a collect call from
John Cena.
Will you accept the charges?
Oh, f*** your mother. Listen, stop calling. Is listening not your strong suit? Because really sure as f*** is, but you're not hearing me. Shut your f***ing beaten down brain from SuperSlam and listen.
Hold on. Marie, this is the Z Morning Zoo Radio
Hi.
Show on Z104. How are you?
What?
We've been phone scamming you. Your husband Donnie told us to phone.
We are all in a fight right now. Are you kidding me right now?
I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you.
I couldn't believe the mouth you had on you.
Oh my God.
Well, listen, I'm...
I haven't had my coffee yet. Shut up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I know how
to Well, listen, we won't be calling you back anymore, I promise, okay?
Oh, thank Jesus.
You won't have to hear this. Alright, you won't have to hear that anymore.
I swear to God, I was gonna go to jail, and it was bad.
How does this bitch not have caller ID in this day and age and not know that it's the same people calling over and over again, and why I keep answering the phone? You kind of deserve to look like an idiot when you're that dumb.
I've never heard that before, so that was pretty fucking funny. I got another one. This one is about, I think this one was back when WCW was doing business, so it's pretty old.
How long is this one, though, before you play it?
Just about 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
This Goldberg?
Yeah, who's this?
Listen, my name is Roy Mercer. I've been trying to get a hold of you for about 2 months now. I need to talk to you about my boy, Raymond. You remember when you was in Tulsa about 2 months ago, you was eating at a Goldie's restaurant? There was a boy that come out there that had his shaved head, and he wanted you to sign it on there for him, an autograph on his head?
Yes, sir.
Or the permanent marker? Listen, we had all kind of trouble since then.
What was that?
Well, I tell you what, his mama got the soap after it and it wouldn't scrub off. We had the soft scrub and the bleach to try to get it all off his head. It's a hard time coming off, and we finally got it off her, and then the hair won't grow back there, Goldberg.
Oh, so that's my fault?
By God, it's your permanent marker that marked on his head.
Well, it wasn't my idea to do it, my friend. So.
Well, you signed it, and now he's starting to get headaches.
You got to be kidding.
I ain't kidding you, and his eyes are blurring up on him. And there for about a week, last week, he couldn't pronounce anything with the letter R in it.
Well, my friend, if you're trying to get money out of me, you're barking up the wrong tree, brother.
Well, then how about you?
It was not my idea. It was your son that asked me to do it, so you're barking up the wrong tree, my friend.
How about I just come down there and give you an ass whooping?
What are you, nuts?
No, I guarantee you I'm coming down there to whoop somebody's ass if I don't get this thing took care of.
My friend, you and what f***ing army is going to whoop my ass?
Listen, it ain't nothing for me to whoop a man's ass.
Well, bring it on, brother.
Ah, by God, I'll whoop you like Patton for a dance. It don't matter to me that you're one of them wrestlers. I know that ain't real anyway, except down in Mexico.
I'll show you how real it is.
By God.
You come find me and I'll knock your f***ing head off.
How'd I get down there to where you're going to be? Hello?
How the hell did you get my number anyway?
Well, listen, I'll tell you what, I got it there from the WCW. I told them I had a problem. I got me a jackhammer full of ass whoop. I'm getting ready to unload on you.
Well, there you go.
So what you going to do about it?
My friend, you show up and I'll show you what I'm going to do about it.
Hey, you don't pull nothing out of your tights and try to ground glass into my forehead, are you?
There you go.
Listen. Worst part about it is he got laid off of his job at the Sonic.
You hold on 1 second.
No, I can't hold on. Listen, he missed the window with the tray because he's a dizzy and blurred his vision, and he dumped a whole foot long in a big boy's lap. But it ain't funny. It ain't funny, and that fella come out of that truck and whooped his ass.
You got it.
And now we got more doctor bills to get took care of. And we're going to run him by the nervologist that we've been seeing.
What the hell is a nervologist?
Nervologist. He's a nerve specialist feller, the Dr. Charlie Downs.
I knew this was it.
You didn't know it for a while, though, Bill.
I knew it for a minute, man.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. This is feeling
brief. I was waiting for this to happen.
Woo! You know, have you thought about tag team? because I got me a mask. Because I usually just break it out on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'd be going there for a minute.
Your buddy Charlie, my brother-in-law.
That's cool. I'm going to rip his head off when I see him.
Wait a minute.
So that was pretty funny. Let me, because I only said it for an hour. We got 3 minutes to live air for us, so let me get the plug out real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. And also, you can find us on iTunes at keyword Angry Mark. And you can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Contrera and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can go to youtube.com/Contrera. I've got a bunch of some videos up there. Everybody already knows, so go up there and check that out.
And you can follow Craig, and you should tweet him and ask him and why he's being so unprofessional and missed the show this week at Proper Jam. Yeah, those were actually pretty funny. There's a morning show that kind of does shit like that. Not with, like, involving wrestling or anything, but it's a show called The Billy Madison Show. And they do something called where they call deadbeat dads. And they start, yelling at the guy, like, why aren't you paying your child support, and getting the guy all wild up, and the guy's always threatening to kick ass and this and that. And then the wife will start, arguing with him, and just basically train wreck segments. There was one time where they kept trying to call this guy, and the guy kept hanging up, so they couldn't do the bit, so they told the girl that they're sorry, and then that girl went absolutely out of her goddamn mind and started threatening them because they lied to her or whatever and shit, even though they tried, or whatever. But it's like, that same kind of general thing. It's kind of like the Jerky Boys from back in the day, or that show on Comedy Central with the puppets.
I can't remember the last time I even watched Comedy Central. So.
Well, they had like a show where these puppets were doing like prank calls and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say a second ago?
Oh, nothing.
Oh. I was going to ask you, did you see the new... You know how, like, supposedly that during Monday Night Football, that was, like, the last Star Wars trailer to come out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that's not true, that there is a new one that came out for, like, Japan or somewhere over there?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's got, like, a lot more footage in it. You should check it out. It was all over my Facebook wall today.
Hmm.
Like, there's a scene where the Bad Jedi is, like, behind... the new Leia, and he's like turns the sword on like next to her, like her head, and a couple other more scenes of the TIE fighters fighting and a few other things. It's actually pretty cool.
I checked it out. Actually, I'm on YouTube right now looking up Force Japanese.
Did you ever find that Star Wars Christmas special?
Apparently last week. I just typed in the Star Wars Christmas special, and it came right up.
Oh, really? Well, you were supposed to send me a link, so I guess I got to do that on my own.
Just go to YouTube and type in Star Wars Christmas special, and it'll come up.
It would have been easier just to click on the link you sent me, but, I guess.
You could just click on a link to go to YouTube and find it.
All right. I'll do the extra work that you're making me do to watch this.
Okay.
Let's get off the show so I can
watch this international trailer that I found.
The what?
Let's get off the show so I can go watch this trailer.
Okay. No problem. We'll be back next week, and hopefully Craig will join us and apologize for his unprofessionalism and not being on the show tonight. But we'll talk to everybody next week.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit! Let's go hook him up!